Oh my god.
Hey man, how's it going? How was your Christmas break?
You know, I had some time off. That was nice. Yeah. I spent most of it very sick.
You too.
I'm coming out of it now. I'm feeling a little better. How about you?
Getting there. Went through bronchitis.
Bronchitis.
So, yeah, yeah. So,
oh man, what? That was it though. Only had bronchitis.
Well, I was sick for the 2 months lead up to Christmas and the break, and then it ended and capped with bronchitis. But getting out of it now. So
That's worse than me. I just had we had a little time off for the holidays, yeah. And I was doing great, and like literally the minute I was on holidays, sick. Mm. And quite sick at that. So, but I mean, you know, I mean, they managed to get a little bit of time in there feeling mostly okay, so yeah. That's pretty good.
A little time to relax.
How about you, Kyle?
I died.
Oh, God. Oh,
no. I'm fine now.
Oh, okay.
New year, new me.
Yeah. You're a comic character.
I'm a regular Doctor Who.
Who?
Exactly.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero issues. Zero issues.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero issues. Zero issues.
Excelsior!
Hey, welcome to the show. First show of 2019.
Woo!
It's just part of the calendar. Who cares? But
I care.
You care?
Yeah.
All right. Do you?
I sold that bit for about 4 seconds.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And speaking of you, who are you?
I'm Kyle.
And
who are you?
I'm Merc.
And who's this fellow in the middle?
I'm Bri.
Just in case you're new to the show.
Yeah. It's a new year. It could be a new podcast.
Yeah, this might
podcast.
Be your first episode. If so, welcome.
Yeah.
We're three idiots.
Thanks for joining idiots.
We're three idiots who talk into microphones about nerdy things. It's called a podcast.
Yeah.
It's pretty much our brand.
And we think they're here
no
to
one else.
Stay.
Yeah, no one else does anything.
No one else does that. We're the only ones who do that.
So anyway, this episode is brought to you by Sheetz.
Tons of sheets.
put them on your bed.
You collect them with all your friends.
Yeah, you can get them places.
Fun for the whole family.
And put in the discount code 3BALLBOYS wherever you buy them.
Just, and you can get a pile of sheets.
If you go to the store and you buy sheets,
you go to Zellers,
bring it up to the till. And just say 3BALLBOYS and you will get 10% off at Zellers.
And if they don't give you 10% off, you speak to their manager.
Oh, yeah. Get to first give yourself a frisky summer do and then march on back there and talk to the manager.
Get your friend who's a hairdresser to just go wild on you.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. I guess we should do an episode.
Yeah.
We start these episodes off with inanity and then we go into news. And it sounds a little bit like this.
Current Zero News Flash.
That's the news sound.
Oh, it sounds different in the 2019, I think.
It's peppier.
It's a little peppier.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's the same, but we're just slowly losing all concept of reality.
It's peppier. It's got a little bit of optimism, maybe.
A little bit. A little bit. Yeah, that'll get drained real fast.
Yeah.
Oh, it's already gone.
But can I? Here, I have a news bit that explains why there might be a little bit of optimism.
Oh,
nice
little segue! My God,
oh, thanks, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is the youngest woman ever to enter Congress. We're Canadian, but we are talking about American politics, of course. Mm-hmm. She's in the New York 14th District, but the reason we're talking about her on this is because she's come up under a lot of fire and a lot of just asshole naysayers, as there always is on Twitter and
the Republicans as a whole, and a lot of like establishment Democrats. Anybody who feels threatened by her is, which is most people in government, it turns out.
In an article that is said that the Democratic caucus was, quote, exasperated with her. I think she's kind of a new, fresh voice, whatever, however you want to take it. But she answered those naysayers with an Alan Moore quote. And to quote her, says, to quote Alan Moore,
"None of you seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me."
Which I think is a delightful.
Very nice. To use very that. Nice.
And then she hit Mitt Romney with a toilet.
Yeah. You know, I'd still be just a huge supporter. Yeah, in really. Fact, that might help.
She electrified three Republicans in NGSL. Yeah.
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 Cortez's journal.
Urf, urf.
Possible homosexual.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, that, yeah.
It's a Rorschach thing.
It's a Rorschach thing.
It's also in The Watchmen.
That's a Rorschach. Just Rorschach thing.
Oh my god. Somebody make that real.
You have any other news?
Not too much. There was a bit of a...
Nothing happened.
Shit, sorry, that just reminded me. Did I share with you guys that Ron Swanson Rorschach thing?
Oh, I know about this.
Yeah,
there's a Tumblr where it's basically they will take a shot from Watchmen but replace Rorschach's text with something that Ron Swanson has said or vice versa. And it works out 100% of the time.
Sadly, it has all been flagged as porn now.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, that's right.
Every last one.
R.I.P. Tumblr.
Yeah.
Rest in piss.
Ooh.
This has been flagged.
So artist Francesco Mattina, who is facing... In 2011, he faced some issues as well. He basically he's a digital artist who had in the past kind of used other people's digital art and sort of took assets from them or just flat out took them wholesale and kind of like painted over them and stuff like that to make his own pieces. Which, it turns out, in a small tight knit art community is not cool.
Yeah. And might get noticed.
Might get noticed. And there was like a Phoenix cover. He did some like Venomized, quote unquote, covers for like Marvel, like variants, basically. He does a lot of variant covers where he takes like Marvel characters and like made them like Venom. But a lot of those were taken from other artists, like there's like a Phoenix one in particular and like a Mary Jane one where he just took other people's art and just sort of painted over it, basically. So, not great. So apparently Marvel cut ties with him in like April, something like that. And he's still been doing some variant covers for like DC, and recently he got called out by the artist Walter McNeil. He did like a variant for a Batman Who Laughs. You know, they have that art going on, but there's like one that shows like Batman like with guns, and he has like a machine gun and stuff. And he has like little assets of it are taken from a piece Walter McNeil did, I think, for like a Punisher, like a very like premium scale like toy, I think, for the box art of the Punisher, where like the hand and like the gun and like the arm, like the pose is all just like cobbled together, literally like painted over from his work.
Good job.
Yeah, and there are some others as well, some pretty well-known artists that he's cribbed from. So, I mean, it's not like the biggest news in the world. This stuff does happen from time to time, but... It's interesting when I think a lot of times like artists in the industry can kind of just sort of take it on the chin a little bit when this kind of stuff happens, but he got put on blast pretty hard.
Yeah.
After already getting in like trouble and like losing work for stealing art, and Walter McNeil, he wrote a whole post, I think, on Instagram, and it's worth checking out because he posts some I forget what his Instagram handle is, but you can look up the story easily. Where he's like shows like kind of like a, he did like GIFs, I think, and he was like showing like it's like a 10, you know, you could post 10 photos together showing the exact like between the two, like exactly where the process was there. And it's pretty damning. Oof. And it's, you know, he mostly expressed his disappointment just because the guy like said, like, I guess he made it like said, apologized and said, oh, I'm going to do better. And then just went back to those tricks. So that's unfortunate. So, you know, as people who draw and make stuff, I don't know, I assume we're on the same page here. Do that.
Nah, just go ahead, steal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's too much work to do it on yourself. Yeah.
Everyone's doing it.
Yeah. All the kids are doing it.
Do the steal.
Do the Craigland.
Sony's also announced Spider-Verse has been pretty popular into the Spider-Verse movie. They're already doing spin-offs. But they've announced that they might take characters from the movie and develop those into like an animated series.
Yeah.
Very possibly Spider-Ham.
Yeah.
Very hopefully Spider-Ham.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good.
I'd be into that.
I mean, I feel like Mulaney'd be down.
I hope he would be. I hope so. I'd hate to have Nolan North just doing it.
I like it.
I'm Spider-Ham. I don't know. Says he does gruff voices. That's fine.
I'm Spider Bacon.
Yeah, they kind of, I don't know, Sony's doing all right with Spider-Man stuff all of a sudden.
Weirdly enough.
I mean, like, this one in particular was, like, really good.
Yeah.
Like, really good.
When you get those guys together, they do good work, and you should just let them do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Note to Disney.
Welcome to the warm-up!
Okay, for the warm-up, I'm going to do a very self-indulgent read this now. Something that came out pretty recently. That is Young Justice number 1 from Brian Bendis's Wonder Comics.
Oh, now I see. Now I get it.
And I got the Impulse cover and I'm showing it off
because nice you show it up on audio podcast. Yes,
that's what I like. It's what I like. So this has been kind of talked about for a while there. They're like bringing back the original, kind of mostly the original Young Justice team, written by Brian Michael Bendis, drawn by Patrick Gleason. This is just the first issue. Like I said, pretty self-indulgent just because I love these characters. These are like some of my favorite all-time characters, that team together. And I'm very happy because they got kind of pretty badly done by in like the new 52, where the few that were remaining were like unrecognizable. They kind of edged them up and wasn't a great time if you liked those versions of these characters. So in this one, they're with no explanation, which is fine. Kind of back to being the way you remember them. They're smiling. I'll get into a little bit of spoilers here, so if you haven't read the issue yet and want to, skip ahead to
16 minutes 56 seconds.
I really like Patrick Gleason's art. Feel free to flip through. It's pretty, he plays it really loose too, which works really well for the characters involved. Mm. The plot, weirdly, it's not maybe what you expect from that team based on the previous run. A lot of it revolves around Gemworld from like Amethyst, you know, like Amethyst and Gemworld, that comic.
Really?
So it literally starts off with character, like an old character in Gemworld. I don't really know Gemworld too much. The crux of it is, basically Gemworld, some people in Gemworld sort of have discovered their reality has also been impacted by all the crises in the DC Earth.
Right.
So they're connected to it and they realize like, oh, this is like there's been 7 crises, they say. And I'm assuming, I mean, not to get super into it, but I mean, you know, they introduced the multiverse, they took away the multiverse. You had Zero Hour, you had like a couple of things called Crisis in the meantime.
Yep.
You had Flashpoint and now Rebirth, which is sort of like, let's just take away New 52. Which is great. So basically they're realizing that I think that their reality has been constantly messed with because of these crises, because of Earth. And they seem real pissed off about it. And they decide to invade Earth and be like, this sucks. That seems to be the crux of what's going in here. They're going on a rampage in Metropolis. They're trying to find Superman.
I like it. I like the art.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And which Bendis is also writing Superman. There's a lot of like people asking where Superman is and stuff like that. That will probably factor into the plot. Also, if I recall correctly, they had, before they did Rebirth, they had like New 52 Superman, but they also had like pre-New 52 Superman. Yes. Where they had, so they had like, you know, older Superman who's married to Lois and they had a son, Jonathan, or John. And then those characters, like, literally Superman and Lois, like, merged together. And they apparently were split off and they merged back together. And that changed the continuity for them anyway. And apparently the entire universe. So it's sort of like
some. So it's super simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
Easily understandable.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
So, like, some books are following up on that. Some books just keep doing what they're doing. It's whatever. So, I guess that is sort of that. Maybe that'll play into it where they're looking for Superman because he maybe was kind of responsible for the last, in that sense, crisis, like, rebirth.
Right.
Tim Drake happens to be there. Cassie Sandsmark happens to be there. Yeah. Bart Allen shows up as Impulse, which is interesting because he was recently reintroduced in the comic in like a Flash comic, but it was sort of like nobody would remember who he is because like the universe has changed.
Yeah.
In this one, it's like everybody just knows each other, like it all happened. So I'm wondering if they're going to explain that.
That's weird.
They had a whole arc where like Tim Drake, like somebody mentioned Connor, who's his best friend, and yeah. he's like, who's Connor? And in this one, like Tim mentions Connor. Like Bart says like Young Justice is back, and Tim's like not without Connor. So they're gonna have to explain like how, and frankly, even if they don't, I'm just like, yes, this is what's good. I want this, so I could just roll with it.
Yeah.
It introduced a couple of new characters very briefly. One of which I really enjoy was Ginny Hex.
Yes.
Which is like a teenage girl, like the descendant for
Jonah Hex.
Of Jonah Hex.
Really?
She's like a teen girl, Jonah Hex. Her face is normal. She's just like this redhead who's coming from Texas, moving to Metropolis from Texas, has like an old beat up pickup truck and has got a bunch of like mystical artifacts and stuff in the back under a tarp.
All right.
And it starts off literally with her getting like pulled over by a police officer and be like, why do you have a gun in your car? And it's like, why wouldn't anyone?
Because I'm a hex.
Yeah. What's under the thing? It's like, I can't tell you that. And she's instantly like really charming, really fun. Yeah.
She's got a space gun.
Yeah.
Of course.
Zap.
And it's got a Teen Lantern, which is somebody who apparently kind of like hacked a Green Lantern ring and sort of was able to, from what I've heard, very little was said about this character, but like it just was introduced, happened to be there kind of a thing. So I don't know. It was a ton of fun, and I'm hoping some cool stuff happens. And it looks like based on some of the stuff they're saying here, this might actually be really crucial for like DC continuity. Like you might be kind of trying to explain how they're rolling things back and how it works a little bit, especially mentioning like the seven crises. Like it's, you know, like that might end up being a big thing, especially if it ties into his Superman books at all. So I don't know. Like I had a really good time. I was looking forward to this for a while. I thought it was real fun. I hope this continues to be real fun, and I'm happy to have my friends back. That's basically how I feel.
Aww.
That's how I feel. I'm happy to have my friends back.
We're happy to have you back. Fictional characters. Right. I see.
Hmm. Who wants a hug? This comic wants a hug. Hmm. What the f***?
So it's a new year.
2019!
That's the name of the year.
That's the year.
That's the number.
That's what they call it around these parts.
This guy can count real high.
Yeah.
We are going to spend this episode briefly trying to predict what's going to happen this year. Make some predictions, some bold predictions.
Bold. Sassy predictions, even.
We're going to be as bold as we can be.
Bold as you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's
going to be a...
It's getting bold out.
Mm-hmm. I'm
Is
ready
it
to
getting
be
bolder in here?
Doritos commercial.
I'm going to be as bold as some extra mild salsa.
Ooh. I'm going to be the HP sauce that has a bowl on it.
Whoa! Mm. Oh my, that's too bold for me.
I'm also going to be spicy, so get your ranch and two pieces of celery ready.
What?
Get them ready!
I don't know what that means!
Just do it!
Oh god!
I'm going to cut the spice just a little bit, just a little bit. Not enough. Not enough.
I'm going to go off you since you just were talking about Bendis doing that, since he is in DC. I believe Bendis is going to do Plastic Man.
Yeah?
We're talking about that last
because
year.
We're still predicting it.
Because no one bends it like Bendis.
Oh, that's nice.
I just wanted to say that, really.
I know, wasn't Gail Simone writing a Plastic Man, like, limited run?
Yeah.
You know what? The more the merrier.
I started reading it, and I actually wasn't super impressed.
Oh, no?
No, I wanted to be. And I was like, it just didn't grab me.
I like her a lot, but I mean, sometimes things don't necessarily work for everybody. Exactly.
Guess what?
What?
A Marvel character that you love is going to have a fresh new creative team. It's going to make it a very, very well-received book, solo series. This is someone who's probably been an Avenger at some point. But this solo series is going to cast them in a whole new light. It's going to be critically acclaimed, and we will get 4 to 6 issues of it before it's canceled.
That could be every character.
Mm-hmm.
It's a safe prediction.
I want one that's going to come true.
Finally, we're going to learn more about Jarvis's sex life. Here's a prediction. I don't know if it's a very serious prediction, a very likely prediction. As we know, and we just talked about.
You know what we should have done for this episode?
Planned?
Like, yes. Yes. Like, in the year 2019.
Do it.
In 2019.
I knew what you were doing. I just wanted to come along for the ride. So obviously we're talking about Netflix canceling all of the Marvel shows. Mm-hmm. Here's a bold prediction. Punisher and Jessica Jones are going to get canceled.
I have a follow-up prediction.
Yeah.
Netflix will restart Daredevil and recancel it just to be a prick.
Yeah, absolutely they will. Beyond that, I feel like it is mostly, I'm sure it's like, you know, Disney's kind of gunning for Netflix's, with their streaming service, they're pulling all their stuff off to do their own streaming service.
Yeah.
So it could be retribution, it could, you know, who knows behind the scenes
what's going on. I think there's a lot more going on. I think apparently there was a lot of strife between the Marvel, like the film group and the TV show group and the Netflix.
Yes.
Of just how contracts and everything worked. I think there was just a lot of.
My thing is, because we have Loki, Vision, and the Scarlet Witch, and potentially other, like, movie character shows.
Yeah.
On the streaming service. So I'm assuming that those are being produced, like, by Marvel Studios. Like, the film division.
Yeah.
And not the TV division. So, I'm thinking this might be a trend where the Marvel, like, the film division is trying to cut out the TV division much as possible. Because I know that there has been, and I could be very wrong here, we don't know, but I know that, like, there's been a lot of, allegedly, rumors, kind of some strife between, like, Marvel Studios and Marvel Comics, led by Ike Perlmutter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, maybe they're trying to, like, snip out as much of, like, the big money stuff that he's in control of. Just trying to basically cut that away from him. Maybe absorb it into the studio section. Maybe they're trying to kind of get rid of
down
him.
His tree.
Get rid of him, maybe. Yeah. Who knows? Or at least trying to make him as even less relevant. Because, like, he was more relevant in the earlier days of, like, Marvel Studios and the MCU. And they kind of cast him off to his own little island. And now it seems like that island is shrinking. So, you know, just
him and Chris Claremont just together.
Oh, yeah.
At last.
Chris Claremont doesn't deserve that.
No, that's true. Maybe he'll be the one to destroy him.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Are Sage and Psylocke up to the task?
I have a prediction for Captain America. I think he's going to rejoin Hydra in Trump's second year as president. And he's going to be quoted just saying, "F it, f this."
He's trying so hard, but I mean,
it's like, you know what? I don't give a shit anymore. Ugh. I didn't realize this, that actually Daredevil, Matt Murdock Daredevil, in the comics has just become
the mayor
of New York City.
Mm-hmm. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So my prediction, he will become president.
I can see him running for a seat in the Senate.
Well, I think he's going to go straight to president.
Do you think America's ready for a blind president?
I think they have one.
Ooh.
No, he's just tone deaf. And a bigot.
Fascist dictator in waiting. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All those things. And more.
And less. You know how Brooklyn Nine-Nine's coming back?
Yeah, it is back, apparently.
Really?
I think that happened very recently, last week or so.
Well, it's on NBC now.
It is.
The show that got canceled got picked back up. I think it's a show that it has comic book potential. Some of these shows have comic book potential.
Yeah.
Like some, you know, real...
Oh, like comic book adaptations?
Yeah. Or new stories. You throw a Zdarsky on there.
Oh, you can do it. You can Zdarsk the shit out of that.
Yeah. And I'm thinking it's probably going to spin off on its own.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I'm talking about Brooklyn 2099.
That's got to happen now.
Terry Crews is going to be a four-armed Goro.
As he should be.
Please.
As he should be. You know what? And now, just since we're on it, Terry Crews, I want Terry Crews, Andy Samberg in the Green Lantern movie. So Andy Samberg is Hal Jordan, Terry Crews is Jon Stewart, Space Cops.
Well, while we're on that,
it's 0199.
I want them. You know what? They canceled Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh yeah.
You know what? Every like buddy cop ish kind of thing you could do. Those two buddies. Those two cops.
Or Holt could be a Luke Cage. I'd be okay with that.
Just a very literal. Yeah.
Sweet Christmas.
Oh, yes.
Next.
I think Logan is going to start a Hot Claws food truck.
Now, what are Hot Claws?
If you have to ask.
I do.
Then you can tell me, because I don't know either.
Well, are they like Hot Cheetos? Hot Cheeto claws.
Hot Cheetos. Just a melted pile of orange.
We don't like, are those claws, are they like physically hot to the touch, or are they just so spicy?
Oh. He's spicy claws.
Yeah.
Just real. He's not hot claws. Yeah. He's spicy.
Or just sexy. Those sexy claws.
They're all shaped like some sort of sex toy.
Or it pops out, and the claws pop out, and they're so spicy that they just, throw cayenne in your eyes. Ow!
Oh!
Wash it out! Wash it out!
Yeah. That's why he was gone so long, is he was like crafting his claws into like the perfect cayenne dispenser.
Yeah.
I got it!
And then when they go back in, it hurts. It hurts a lot.
Oh, it's worth it though. It's the only way he can feel alive after all these years.
It's the only way he can feel the heat.
Yeah. His new codename? Ghost Pepper.
Cool.
With the success of Aquaman, Jason Momoa is going to be cast as Superman and Batman.
Yeah.
In the continuing movies.
Just a full Momoa league.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot's got Wonder Woman pretty down, but I mean, like, maybe you gotta fit, like, a second Wonder Woman, and it's Jason Momoa. Them together. Uh-huh. In that costume.
Momoa. On a kind of serious note, my prediction, C.B. Cebulski, we have not really heard that much about him. Really too much.
Yeah.
Since he kind of, in the last little while.
We've made our jokes. I want to make another one, but is it played out at this point? Yeah. Because we've heard so much about Akira Yoshida, but I mean, when are we going to learn more about C.B.?
I think something's going to flub up.
You think?
Yeah.
Hmm.
What? I don't know. He's just going to say the wrong thing. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Something from the past will come flooding
come
up.
Come out. And, yeah. And it's so easy for stuff to come back at you.
Yeah. Which is a good and bad thing. Sometimes it's warranted. Sometimes it is not.
Yes.
But it's like when we first started talking about this and I started to think about it immediately, I don't know why I immediately thought Cebulski and I just kept coming back to it. I'm like, something weird is going to happen.
Yeah. Someone's going to screw up.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Someone powerful is going to screw up.
Mm-hmm.
Or, a one-off writer or artist is going to screw up.
Yeah.
And they're going to do something stupid in the background of a comic.
Or copy other people's stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know if it...
Or harass women.
I feel like none of these things ever happen in the comics industry.
Yeah, speaking of which, we haven't really brought it up, was the whole Border Town thing.
Oh, yeah, which, in hindsight, because I remember we were all like,
I know, isn't that weird, because I'm totally forgetting all their names, but...
The writer, it was the writer of it.
The writer of it was getting death threats leading up to it.
Yes, Eric Esquivel, I think, I could be wrong. I should probably make sure I know before I attach it to this, but... Yeah.
There was a lot floating around because there was death threats going into San Diego this year. And just because of the whole immigrant sort of thing going on in the States and all the hatred and whatever.
Xenophobia?
Yeah.
That's the one.
And so
we
were like, fuck you, prejudice pricks.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden it comes out that same guy was...
Yes.
Being not very good.
I didn't know.
Two women. Oh, really?
I think in the past, I think it was like working at a comic shop or something like that where he was a lot of sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Basically.
And basically the entire creative team, the rest of the creative team on the book just backed right off and were like, as if they kind of knew something was going on. We're like, whoa, I don't know what's going on, but yeah.
They were quick to condemn it.
Yeah, like, condemn instantly. It, and then several of them exited the book immediately. Oh, yeah. So.
The artist, I think, Ramon Villanabos, I'm pretty sure is the name, and I think, what's her name, Bonvillain, or was her last name, I forget her first name, the colorist, who's like one of the great colorists going right now. Both were like, we're out. And they're basically talking about, like, they want to still collaborate on something else on their own in the future. But then that book got canceled and So, that's, man.
Yeah.
We should at least address that, considering we were so forcefully like, let's support this book.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, everyone's terrible.
Just because you're a victim doesn't mean you're not also an asshole.
That's true.
Yeah. True.
Neat.
So, victimless
assholes.
I did pick up the first issue when it came out for that reason, and it didn't really grab me, to be honest with you. So there you go.
I picked up the first two issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't really grab me. I was I read the first one and was just like, I don't really want
to
read
it. It took me
anymore.
Forever to read the second one.
Yeah.
Look how quick we're back.
I know. And that's just honest of.
No, it's literally what happened. Yeah. Again, the art was nice. I like the art. Yeah. But I don't know. The writing didn't really grab me. So you know what? Yeah.
Point made.
Yeah. All right.
Any other predictions?
I predict that we're going to have a great year of podcasting. And we're going to become closer as hosts and friends.
We're close on a couch. We're in touching distance.
Don't touch me.
We're in touching distance.
don't touch.
Do not touch me.
and the other two hosts back off because of sexual assault.
Well, we should still collaborate on stuff.
I think we should keep going, but...
Oh, no.
It was bound to happen.
Our new co-host, a cat!
Yeah.
It was bound to happen. I thought it was going to be me, but, you know...
We all thought it would be me.
We need your host. We tried recording at my place. It didn't work out, remember?
I missed that cavern. And again, tying into the news a little bit, but I predict floodgates are going to open a little bit. I think you're going to have a lot more animated comic book stuff chasing that. Spider-Verse did really well. Didn't it win, like, animated Golden Globe?
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about it, like, maybe, for winning an Oscar.
It's pretty nominated. Deserving. Like, it was fantastically well-done movie.
I feel like a lot of people are...
good soundtrack, too.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing that on repeat. It's
like,
great.
Oh, it's not, like, orchestral...
Yeah,
really good. But I feel like a lot of other studios are going to try to, jump on that train.
Yeah.
Obviously, I would say to mixed results. I think that Spider-Verse was like such an intensive like labor of love. I think, and if people are just trying to, it did something really interesting stuff like visually storytelling wise that you've got to match that, otherwise
it's gonna be a. What does DreamWorks have the rights to?
I think that it's kind of a good thing. I think like if that does happen, which I think it will, I think some comic properties would be better off animated.
Yep.
Frankly, and I hope that
name two,
Fantastic Four,
and Friends.
Yeah.
Fantastic Five.
Yeah.
Fantastic Force.
Fantastic Force. Yeah. Future Foundation.
Yeah.
Ah.
Jeremy's Iron. Actually, Future Foundation would be,
that'd be amazing. Yeah. That could be a show. You could do that as a show.
Yeah.
Be pretty good. You could have, like, Fantastic Four animated movies and have that sort of going on kind of in the background with the main characters.
Yeah.
There you go. Just pitched it. I think it'll be a really positive thing overall. I mean, not everything needs to be, like, a big bloated live-action spectacle. So it'd be nice to kind of... superheroes aren't going anywhere, so maybe the different kinds of mediums and explore different ways of making superhero movies.
Yes.
I like it.
I concur.
Yeah.
Not animated, but I did see people have been talking about doing Moon Knight stuff for forever. That'll be maybe part of the next wave, whatever. Netflix. I don't know who it was. It was Comic Book Resources or somewhere posted. Somebody had just done an Instagram photo of their own design of a Moon Knight mask that's like a live action, like just the actual mask that they created, and it was fantastic. Yeah, like obviously I can't show you that on a podcast. Go look it up. It's just worth it. It looked fantastic. I'm pretty sure it was comic book resources.
Make the waveform with your mouth.
Just gotta see it with your mind's eye or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I feel like Moon Knight, like, I guess
it just seems like the next.
I guess it should be live action. That's one I wouldn't mind, like some like an adult animated thing. Like you could do some interesting.
Like HBO Spawn.
Speaking of which, that movie's getting set to come.
Yeah. It's
like,
I think it's
no jokes.
No, I think it's gonna. I think it's not gonna work.
I don't have the red glasses.
I think it might flop. Frankly, I think it's.
You think so?
I think so because I think that. I think that
Venom did really well. I think this is going to do really well.
Venom did really well, but Venom was also basically a comedy. Like Venom, sort of. It was a weird movie, but it wasn't trying to be serious most of the time. Some of the time,
but then not at the same time, horror movies seem to be the big thing right now.
If they do the horror, if they do that well, I suppose if people see it as a horror movie, then okay, cool.
Like McFarlane was just recently quoted as saying something like this is. There's going to be no goofiness in this. This is like full on dark.
Listen,
that can go either way.
Get John Leguizamo back. Get him in that fat suit.
Yeah, yeah.
Do it. It depends on how people perceive
just
as
a walk on.
If there's a perception, I think, of it being like a comic movie.
Yeah.
Honestly, if it's like, and he's in like a kind of a costume in some capacity, I don't know. I feel like the trend is people, if it's like overly self serious, audiences are like largely rejecting it. It's got to have some, not necessarily levity, but it's got to not just be like, you know, you have to have something that's like somewhat engaging and fun about it in some capacity. If it's just like dark, serious, I don't know. I feel like that had its day and no one.
But at the same time, like it's Spawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no one's cared about Spawn in 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, legit 20 years.
Yes. I feel like...
Well, but to you guys...
Yes. That comic's been steadily published.
It's, like, it's started since Image, and it's held its own.
It might not be, like, topping the charge, but... topping the charge. Topping the charge.
Super well in the charge. Yeah.
Chopping the charts.
No, chopping the charts to you!
But it has... Again, it has an audience, obviously.
Yeah.
Unless it's, like, one of those Savage Dragon situations where, like, three people read it, but, you know, he's one of the board members, so.
My kid drew this. Making a comic.
I'm sorry, Eric. He's not listening. He's not listening. No, I feel like.
To anyone.
Yeah. I think there's a, like, just saying, like, no jokes, like, even, like, a very serious adult movie can have jokes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I feel like, you know, trying too hard to be,
name
like.
Name one.
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, it did.
Had some jokes.
It had some jokes.
Yeah, they could be really dry.
So I think
say Shrek.
So I think Spawn should have the same tone as Shawshank Redemption.
Exactly the same.
I'll never forget.
Well, Spawn, I'll see you on the Mexican beach.
Perfect. Morgan Freeman is Spawn.
Yeah,
I love it.
I felt a vague sense of fear as I moved deeper into the darkness and descended into hell.
Morgan Freeman as the Cape.
Oh, just the Cape. Yeah, exactly. Oh, fantastic.
What are you doing there?
Yeah.
I'm Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, Morgan Freeman.
I'm a cape. Let me tell you about some penguins. That's...
Yeah.
I didn't think the bit out, and my improv skills are rusty. So yeah. What do you want from me? You want blood? Because there's only so much you have to give.
Speaking of blood, when I was doing the research for this...
Speaking of blood?
I'm trying to segue. I found a very similar list to what we are doing on Bleeding Cool's site. They had the 2019 DC predictions. And not to recite them all, there's just a really good one.
Was it a checklist of like 9 or 10?
Yeah.
There's a Marvel one too.
Oh, is there? I didn't see the Marvel one. I just saw the DC one. Written by Jude Terror is his name, I believe. And
The Albany Terrors.
Exactly. He had Doomsday Clock ends by trapping Alan Moore's actual soul in the DC Universe. Nice. I was like, well done. Well done, sir.
Here's here's my prediction. Doomsday Clock does not end this year. Just some total left field ones.
Yep.
Dark Horse has lost a lot of their licensed properties.
Yeah.
Which isn't great. I mean, they still obviously publish like Mignola.
Mignola. They lost Conan, so Conan just got Conan number one just came out for Marvel.
Yeah.
Last week, 2 weeks ago, or so. Yeah, that was a big property loss for them.
It's got to be hitting them somehow. I'm sure they're doing fine. Part of me kind of wonders if you could see, you know, this is total left field, not based on literally anything, but like maybe, you know, IDW and Dark Horse do similar-ish stuff. Maybe they could, maybe they'll do a little merge together and get a little stronger place. Maybe they kiss. Maybe they hug.
Or
this is Dark based Horse, on literally nothing.
Dark Horse has done really well with its licensed properties, but it's also has done really well with its creator-owned creator stuff.
Yes.
Like my favorite book of the past couple of years has been Black Hammer, and that's mm-hmm. them. And
absolutely.
He recently, it's Jeff Lemire, and they just got optioned for movie and TV stuff.
Yeah,
and that's right. Dark Horse, and he's creating a whole universe. He's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's been at least three, maybe four offshoot series from that. So
my question is, what is the like arrangement at Dark Horse? Like, does Dark Horse have like, do they get money out of those optioning deals though at all?
I'm,
are they just like purely of just the publisher and the creator?
I don't think it's totally creator owned and operated. I don't think it's like an Image sort of deal.
Yeah.
I think they are still more of a traditional publisher, but they have probably, and this is total me making this up, but I think it's more traditional based, but they have more control, like more point. A little.
Yeah,
more.
There's probably more creative control.
Yeah,
just
like just the Mignola universe has all been.
Yeah,
like that's where it started, kind of for them.
Like so. I know they've done again. Like I'm a big Usagi Yojimbo fan, but that's been at like multiple publishers.
Yeah.
And it's been at Dark Horse for many, many years, and it hasn't. You know what I mean? Like they have a good sort of a setup there. I'm just sort of wondering. Like I know that, you know, not all of the stuff that they publish is necessarily originally with Dark Horse.
Yeah.
So that makes me curious about what the arrangement is, or maybe the arrangement's different for everyone. If you have an established thing, then, you know, maybe they don't have any sort of like legal involvement in it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I'm just something, you know, I feel like there has to be some sort of a move for Dark Horse in some capacity.
Yeah.
Just because they gotta be feeling a little bit of pain for Marvel gobbling up everything.
Yeah.
So
it could be just a combination of trying to find more licensed properties and then building up their creator-owned stuff.
Before Marvel inevitably gobbles them up, too.
And they can hire me.
That's true. Oh, yeah.
I've been on like a push to doing a bunch of different Dark Horse samples and like tagging them on Instagram. Well, sending it directly to them as they request you to send samples, but then following it up with an online thing. Tag. Merc, check out Merconaut on Instagram. And
my next prediction is that Dark Horse,
hires and fires me.
Senpai notices you. Yeah. They bring Merc into the fold. They give you a sweet kiss upon the brow to welcome you into the fold. That's what I predict.
And give me $3 a page.
Hey.
Hey, I do it. You know what?
For the exposure.
In the middle of winter.
You beta cuck.
Oh, that's harsher than I was expecting.
Prediction. This podcast takes a turn for the... Oh, no. Another prediction. A comic at some point features a female person of color, and a bunch of shitheads on the internet get real mad about it for no reason at all.
Let me just check. Oh, yep.
Oh, it already happened.
Yep.
It already happened. Damn.
Stupid everybody.
Yeah.
Stupid society.
It's a problem.
Yep. Well, you know what? It's going to be a good year.
I think it will be a good year.
Yeah.
you know what? We complain about and make fun of things, but you know what? Like Image and all the independent stuff doing really well. Smaller companies doing really well.
I completely forgot that there was an Umbrella Academy show that exists. Somebody posted it to my Facebook and just like has like Ellen Page in it. I'm just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I didn't even know
Ellen Page.
Yeah, we all know Ellen Page.
Yeah.
It's got a pretty good cast.
Mm.
So you know, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, lots of good stuff to put in your eyes.
Yeah. Too much of anything.
Like hot claws.
Yeah.
Ow.
Oh, so spicy.
Ow.
God. How do you like that cayenne, bub?
I don't.
Montreal steak spice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly garlic and pepper.
Fantastic.
All right.
Okay.
And that's the year.
Let's wrap it up. That's the end of 2019.
Year in preview.
Yeah.
So you pronounce that word, right?
Sure.
Anyway, I'm Kyle. You might be wondering, how did I get here? Shit. Yup. That's me. Kyle. And you can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com or by looking up The Kyle Lees. That's K-Y-L-E-L-E-E-S. M-O-U-S-E.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Lees Mouse.
M-O-U-S-E. Yep.
And who's that?
My name is Bri Kotick. You can check out my comic at welcometohereafter.com. You can check me out on social media. The name is Bri Kotick, B-R-Y-K-O-T-Y-K. Another prediction. Somebody's going to do some Nintendo comics. Come on, why aren't you doing this already? Ridiculous. A Zelda comic would kill right now.
Yeah.
You're out of your minds. Leaving money on the table.
They do it in, you know, other countries.
That's true. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Why not here?
Why not here? You can do
curse you, Paraguayan comics.
I feel like we were talking about, like, a Mario comic, like, for years and years on this show, and just like, well, how have you not done this?
There's, like, the fan-made one.
That's, yeah.
I have not kept up on that.
No. Pretty solid.
Yeah.
You could just publish it, and it would probably go over really well.
Yeah, and you probably wouldn't even have to pay them very much.
Yeah.
Or anything, because it's really your property.
I'm Merc. Thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah. No thanks. No thanks.